WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Sunday, y'all. You were listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. And what day is it? Is it we're almost at April. Like, tomorrow will be April, right?
No, March had somewhere to be.
It really did. It honestly did.
January would not leave. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't take the hint. Yes. And March is like, it just drove by.
Yeah, it was very similar to February. And then I don't know what to predict with April.
Me either.
Yes, but I know, Nika, before the show, we had discussed, you know, it's kind of kicked off the spring sports stuff for kids and all the things. And I remember, I can't remember if it was on Instagram or another social media platform. It was like this montage of pictures of moms at the ballpark, just like all wrapped up like burritos and blankets. Is that your style normally too?
It was my style. For the first game, we had 30 mile per hour, up to 30 mile per hour wind gusts, and it was like 57. And so anyone who knows me knows that I turn into a popsicle when it goes below 70. Like, give me all the heat and all the humidity, you know? I start shaking and freezing. And so I was in layers, and some of the moms thought I didn't show up because they didn't know who I was.
Oh, sure.
Because I was so incognito.
Oh, you were like a little, like, homeless person.
I did. I was a burrito. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm hoping for bright, pretty, sunny spring days as we go forth.
Okay.
How about you?
You know, what did I wear? I wore a sweatshirt, and I'm glad that I did because I was on the field with our three-year-old. I may or may not have ran the bases for him while carrying him in the second or third inning. But, you know, thinking about your temperature preference, Nika, so what temperature do you set your thermostat to when you sleep at night?
So I understand that the ideal thermostat should be 68, but let me tell you what I have on my bed. I have the sheet.
Okay.
Then I have the hospital blanket, you know, the kind that you can buy. And then I have a down comforter, and then I have another down comforter. And then on top of that, I have a heated blanket.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you have a weighted blanket?
I do have a weighted blanket, but I have a little pup that I rescued, and he sleeps with me, and he likes to crawl under the sheets. Oh. And I don't want it to, you know, collapse his lungs.
I don't know if it would, but totally fair. Okay.
So, but if I'm in the recliner, I get my weighted blanket. But yes, I don't know what it is. I just cold hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like clean, cold sheets initially, and then like doing the whole thing with like rubbing my legs around and just like getting all like cozied up. And then I like to be warm. I don't like to be hot, but I do want to be cozy.
I want to be cozy. Yeah.
Yes.
But summer is definitely my jam. Mm-hmm. Like, I do. I love the heat. So, you know, I'm a Southern girl. What can I say?
No, I totally understand.
I would not make it a day in the Northeast.
I would not either. You know, my people hail from the equator. You know, I was not born and raised in the Philippines. My people are from the Philippines. So I feel like genetically, I probably do better in the heat.
Yeah.
So
it's just in you. It's just in the blood.
Yes. I have the dry shampoo, all the things. But honestly, during the humidity, it doesn't really help. Like, I'll tell like all of our students that go through sorority recruitment, I'm like, the dry shampoo, like, honestly, isn't even helping you anymore. Like, everybody should just embrace like looking like a hot dog.
Look like they just got out of the pool.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I will say, for those of you that are listening and you're like, oh my gosh, what are they talking about today? I promise we won't be just talking about the weather and mom life at the ballpark or anything else. But we actually have a student that is going to be on the show with us, a graduate student. Excuse me. And, you know, I always have fun when we have students. I feel like they bring a good energy and also just getting their perspective. And also, too, as we go into the spring and we're kind of landing this semester, we have so many students that are graduating and really looking to what is that next step for them, especially our graduate students too, because it's not necessarily that they're about to go on to that next degree, but there's like some kind of career that is happening for them. And I know advising has kicked off or is going to kick off.
Registration is going strong, and we are making our plan. Well, we've made our plans for summer and fall, but now we're, you know, trying to solidify them. And then, you know, there's those that are looking for their next step out of here, whether that's another professional program, graduate program, or, you know, the quote unquote workforce, real world.
Now, remind me before we take a break, how many advisees do you have? How many appointments do you have booked?
well, I usually see around 200 or more every semester mm-hmm. on top of my classes. This past week, I had 31 30-minute appointments and then taught four classes throughout the week. And, you know, classes meet more than once a week. So it's a busy time. I liken it to an advisor's registration time. It's like an accountant's tax season.
Yes.
It's just a really busy, you know, jam-packed season.
I love how polished that response is and so kind and polite about the realities of that. But before I dig us into a bigger hole, y'all, we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Time with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
And I'm giggling because, so before the break, we were just, you know, I was really applauding Nika for just such a beautifully polished answer as I was asking her about the realities of her advising schedule and then also being just full-time faculty and all of the things. But without further ado, it is our pleasure to introduce our guest, Ms. Lauren Brendel. She is a UA graduate student pursuing an MFA in acting, and we're just so happy to have you with us today, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. And now, in true fashion for the show, one of the things that we always like to do with our guests is really just, we need the deets on you. We want to know hometown, what brought you to UA, professional and academic background, favorite color, not really, but maybe. But just tell it to us, sister.
Yeah, of course. So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I was laughing when you were talking about not for being able to live in the Northeast. That was getting to me.
Okay. Which one do you like the best? The cold or the heat?
Well, the thing I love about the Northeast is having all four seasons. I'm a big spring and fall person I'm up there. Like the leaves changing and when things are finally starting to grow in the spring. Like I was a big fan of the weather that we had. Not the wind, but yes. The 55, like... I can get behind that.
Okay.
That's in between temperatures I actually do really like.
Okay. But perfect. Yeah.
So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. And I started doing theater at a very young age. And I went to James Madison University for my undergraduate degree in theater. That was a Bachelor of Arts in theater. Worked professionally a little bit in the regional market and a lot of places in the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, back home in Pittsburgh. And then COVID happened and kind of shut down the theater live performance for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so kind of I ended up, my last contract before COVID happened was in Pittsburgh. So I was very lucky that I wasn't paying rent because I was living with my parents. I thought it was going to be for a month and a half on this contract and ended up being for almost all of 2020. But it was a blessing in disguise because it kind of allowed me some time to really think about how my career had been since graduating undergrad and what I wanted to look like later on. And I realized that in order to do that, I really wanted to get my master's degree in acting. And so I was applying for these programs when the world was still shut down and I was emailing all of them like, are you still, like, is this program going to exist?
Yeah, like, are y'all still a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Are your auditions live, over Zoom, this, that, the other thing? It was wild. But then I established, immediately a really strong connection with the head of the theater department here, Seth Panich, who is just one of the smartest and most talented, like, theater makers. He directs, he acts, he writes, he does it all. And I basically got an early offer to this program. And so because the offer was so early, I ended up living in New York for almost all of 2021 until the fall semester started, because I found out basically a year before the program started that I was going to be here. And that is when I found Orange Theory. I had gotten my group fitness certification in undergrad, taught at the Rec Center, James Madison University and stuff. It was so much fun. And I've been kind of doing it on and off as time kind of allowed with the theater performances I was doing. And since theater was shut down, I started doing fitness full time and taught in the Brooklyn and Queens Orange Theories.
Very nice.
It was so much fun. And yeah, and ever since I've been here, I was just talking to Sheena about this because she's a member. I coach her at 5 a.m. sometimes. I immediately was like, let me transfer to this Orange Theory location. I wanna keep this going. And it's been just so wonderful to have like both a theater community here and that fitness community at Orange Theory.
Yes, fitness community, I can speak to that, that it's really a thing.
Yeah.
And it's, once you find it, it's your family. Yeah, you know, so I'm glad you found it here.
Well, and I just want to say, Nika, especially since we were in grad school together and, you know, when we had our health coaching class and I was your client and I had
this. Shout out to Dr. Turner.
Yes, and I had that lofty idea of like, I'm going to work out every single day at 5:30 in the morning. And who knew it took me being like closer to 40 years old to like actually pull that off. But it was really, I think, the fitness community. So having
that. You had that long-term goal, yes. And girl, you hit it.
I did.
I'm proud of you. As your health coach from back in the day, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you checked in with me.
Well, yes. It's in my roots. I had to do that. But Lauren, you know, kind of speaking about your experiences, I know you just mentioned at the beginning that you started theater pretty early on. I'm actually curious, what kind of started that interest for you? I know a lot of times individuals will say like, oh, it was at the encouragement of a family member, or maybe you can, like sometimes somebody just comes up with an idea on their own, like they see that opportunity. What was that like for you in your story?
Yeah, I think I just always kind of loved performing, like was always the person who wanted to do the choir and stuff like that, even in elementary school, that sort of thing, just the performing arts. And there was this after school theater program, shout out Act One Theater School of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that was super close to where we were, and a couple of my friends started doing it and they loved it. I would see their shows and be like, oh man, this is what I want to do. This is so much fun. Like my friends who were, you know, just my friends at school were, to me at that time, the quality of those productions was like mind blowing to me. It was like, oh my gosh, people my age are like a whole, you know, it was an after school program. So it was like 10 through 14 year olds are coming together and being able to create this. And like, you know, once I caught the bug, it just kind of continued from there. Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. So one more thing, and Nika, you're like, oh my gosh, like you're talking so much,
no,
but I'm just like, I have like all of these thoughts and questions for you. And you know, one of the other things, that we did want to ask you about was regarding just, you know, your most memorable performances, whether as a kid or, you know, more so in adult life.
Yeah, I think the most recent memorable performance is what I'm actually writing like my MFA thesis on. This past fall, I got to play Cassius in Julius Caesar. It was directed by the head of my department. It was great. I'm a big Shakespeare girl. I love it. And Cassius is traditionally a male character, right? And it's Shakespeare has great roles for women. He really does write great roles for women. But when it comes to the history plays, he's transcribing history. And so a lot of the roles are male. Mm-hmm. And so we gender bent that role and a couple other ones throughout the show. And so just to get that opportunity to explore a character who, like as a middle schooler, high schooler, just never thought I'd be like playing Cassius and then writing my thesis about it. That was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Very cool. So with your passion for, we have heard from you about your passion for acting. Tell us how you caught the bug for fitness.
Yeah. So I played sports growing up. I was a soccer player and then I played basketball. And I still love like March Madness right now. It's just everything to me. It's my season. But yeah, so I loved basketball. And then once theater started to take up more and more of my time, I was like, oh, I kind of miss like this fitness aspect of it. I kind of miss like being able to work out, like break sweat, that sort of stuff. And so in high school, I sort of kind of got into it, but there was no, I would take like occasional group fitness classes if I could find them in the area. But then it was when I got to undergrad and I was like, oh my gosh, there's this ginormous rec center that offers like 50 classes a week and they're free for me. And I think at that point, and then I realized that all the instructors were like undergrad students and that all they had to do was to take this course that meant just, you know, like once or twice a week. And that's how you got your certification. I was like, well, I have this performance background. I'm comfortable on a microphone. Mm-hmm. I have this passion for fitness that's kind of been like growing and stuff like that. And, you know, throughout theater, I danced a little bit. So I kind of had a little bit of a body awareness and awareness of some like anatomy concepts, that sort of stuff. And I love these classes and these people look like they're having so much fun teaching these classes. And so I took the course and immediately was just like hooked. I started as a boxing fitness instructor, which I still love, but they had me doing everything. Boxing, HIIT, core, BOSU, like cycle class. They had me doing everything over there, which is, it was so much fun. And that's how I, yeah, really got into it.
I love that. Nika, does that resonate with you? When I think about like your a passion for fitness and like all of the things.
It does. I remember the first time I got to put the mic on, I was like, I feel like Britney Spears in concert.
It's the Britney mic. It's the Britney mic. I still call it that. Even in Orange Theory, we still have the Britney mic.
Okay. I feel like I need a Britney mic now because I know exactly what y'all are talking about. And honestly, that's what I think of when I see y'all and any fitness instructor wearing that. But okay, we got to take a break. We're going to catch back up with Lauren. You are listening to Fit to Be Time with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Listeners, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone, and we have Lauren Brindle, a UA graduate student who is pursuing her MFA in acting at the University of Alabama, joining us today. And Lauren, I do have a question for you. We talk a lot sometimes to our undergrad students about self-care.
Yes.
How is that different for a graduate student? Being an undergrad and now you're a grad student, what are some of the different, stressors that is unique to grad school? And have you been able to tell that you cope differently or maybe in healthier ways? Does that just come with, you know, age and maturity, or does it just kind of come with the landscape?
I think a huge part of it is age and maturity because I think about I was personally, even though I was coaching all these classes and doing theater in undergrad too, I was not good with self-care in undergrad. Mm-hmm. Just about taking that time for myself. And like I think about like lack of sleep and nutritional choices I was making or not making, and just the unnecessary stress a lot of times I was putting on myself like in undergrad. And I kind of feel like it's been night and day coming to grad school, because I think undergrad was the time for me to make those mistakes and kind of, you know, push through it. Mm-hmm. And grad school, I was like, okay, now I know what not to do. Sure. And now I have a more mature perspective on all this stuff. And so I'm always just so impressed when I see undergraduate students, especially ones in the performing arts, but even, you know, I talk about Orange Theory a lot, but like I coach the opening class. I coach the 5, the 6:15, the 7:30. And the amount of undergraduate students who are showing up to that 6:15 regularly, like energized, like not just, you know, rolling out of bed and getting it done at the expense of sleep, but the people who have like built this into their schedule, they impress me so much, because that's something that I was just not doing in undergrad. But I think for grad students, it is a different balance, because we're not taking gen eds, right? Mm-hmm. All of our courses are specialized, so we're generally taking less of them. However, I'm a GTA, which is a graduate teaching assistant, so I always have a 2-course teaching or assisting load on top of that. And that wildly varies depending on the semester, because this semester, I kind of lucked out. I'm calling it, feels like I'm graduating in May, and it feels like I'm having like my senior spring, because my TA duties are very very laid back this semester. Mm-hmm. I'm assisting. I'm just helping some undergrads coach some monologues and scenes and stuff like that. Like very light, fun work, supporting the work they're doing in the class. Last semester, however, I was the instructor of record for the undergraduate showcase prep class, which is helping them pick their pieces for our agent showcases that the seniors were doing and getting those up to speed. And I was also one of the lab instructors for the general education theater course. So I TA on Monday, but then I lead the lab discussion on Wednesday. So fall semester was much busier in terms of that load. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting because typically on your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're playing TA or teacher. Then Tuesday, Thursday is where we kind of have our classes that we're taking.
You switch roles.
You switch roles. And so there's a different type of balance.
A different type of stress that comes with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not having that same routine all day, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, having to put on a different hat every day is stressful.
Well, and you know, Lauren, as I'm thinking about what you've shared, I'm curious for your program with the MFA in acting, is it a quote-unquote requirement for everyone to kind of be that triple threat as far as being able to act, sing, and dance? Because I'm just thinking about demands on the body, you know, potential additional things that people are having to train in when they're not in a performance, you know, just to kind of keep those skills sharp. So can you kind of speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is an MFA in acting, so we're not necessarily focusing as much on musical theater. Mm-hmm. A lot of the undergrads are, so they have a lot of those dance classes and voice lessons. However, to be the type of well-rounded actor that we want to be, we still have voice and movement classes. Sure. It's just the speaking voice and movement on stage. So it's still a very physical and vocally draining program because, you know, with voice class, we're taking dialects and we're having to speak in different dialects and accents and making sure we're keeping our vocal instrument healthy. And for movement, we focus on a lot of different movement techniques that a lot of them derive from dance. Mm-hmm. Laban movement is derived from dance and is all about using different movement qualities in order to create a character. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that work, especially warming up into that work before applying it to a scene, is very physical. There are movement qualities like punch, ring, press, flick, all these things that we are to do those things, you're involving your entire body, right? And then we also focus on something called Alexander technique, which a lot of athletes actually use because it's finding the perfect alignment for your individual body that's going to allow yourself to function as efficiently and as with the most availability as possible, available to emotion, to reaction on stage, that sort of thing. And so even though it's not like what you think of Broadway shows, singing, dancing, that sort of thing, it is like a lot of movement and a lot of vocal work for sure.
Yeah. I'm just kind of geeking out because, again, because it's so out of my wheelhouse, right. I feel like it's a great opportunity for me to just ask these questions that are popping up since I'm not in that world.
Right. And it's also, you know, you are getting trained on all these things that we don't know about. You know, I didn't know about any of these until you just said them, which is so intriguing to me. But on the other end, how do we keep our movement up? We keep it up by proper nutrition, mm-hmm. and proper rest and stretching and, you know,
so
building
tight.
The muscular endurance system and the cardiorespiratory endurance system. And you know this because of your passion for fitness, but how many people in that realm do you feel they don't get the whole picture because they've never taken a dietetics course or a nutrition 101 mm-hmm. Or is that brought in?
It's been getting better.
Good.
I feel like there's more of an awareness that I'm seeing. Maybe it's because I'm outside looking in. But I feel like I'm very impressed by the undergrads in this program who, and maybe it's because of TikTok, Instagram, who knows, but who know how to meal prep effectively for themselves, mm-hmm. even if it's not like making 35 meals on Sunday, but who still know, okay, I need to pack my lunches for these days so I'm not starving, lightheaded, whatever, at rehearsal, the importance of hydration and stuff. I do think our faculty does a really great job here at stressing that to students, getting enough sleep. Hydration
oh, yes.
is like the motto of our main voice teacher here. So I think that obviously there's always room to grow, but I've been very impressed from what I've seen from the undergrads, and they help each other.
That's awesome.
That's the thing that I've really started to see more, is that there's an undergraduate student who has a decent amount of dietary restrictions. So she's very good about like always making sure she's got snacks on hand and that sort of stuff. And undergraduate students who don't necessarily have as much of an immediate need for that, see her doing that, are like, wait a second, that's so smart. Like, she's saving so much time, she's saving money doing this. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't need like this specific like gluten-free or allergen-free option, like this is actually, so I think there's a lot of great learning from each other that's been able to happen within the program that I've seen, and that it's really inspiring as like a grad student. I'm like, wow, you guys have your stuff a lot more together than I did. And it's really like, hopeful.
Yeah.
Like, this is great.
Well, I know we're about to have to take a break, but one really quick, as far as sleep goes, what's kind of your goal? Like, do you have like a set number of hours you're like, okay, this is like a non-negotiable, or do you feel like sleep is something that's had to be a little bit more flexible for you with a demanding schedule? I'm just curious.
It depends. I'm very much, like if I can get at least 7 hours, that's where I'm like real, and I'm a early bird. Like mm-hmm. I, once it hits like 11, I start getting nervous.
Yeah, sure.
Like I'm like, oh my gosh. And I know some people can function on like way less sleep, but that's not me. I do open the gym on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which I have to be there at 4:30. So I try to roll out of bed, hopefully by 4. And I really try, I set an alarm for 9:30 and 10 p.m. on mm-hmm. those nights. And 9:30 is like the warning, like you better be starting to brush your teeth soon.
Yeah, you better land this plane,
sister. And 10 p.m. is, 10 p.m. is like an absolute, you need to go to bed, whatever you're doing can wait. Because if you finish it now, you're not going to be a human tomorrow.
Yeah, right. yeah, it's like FYI. Yeah. So on that note, we'll take a break. So we are taking a break, you guys. You are listening to Fit to Be Time with Shane and Mika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Mika on 90.7 The Capstone, and our guest today, Lauren Brindle, a UA graduate student who is going to have her master's in acting and is going to make it in the big time in New York City. So I can feel it in my bones.
Your lips to God's ears.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Really.
I can feel it in my bones. But that is your plans, right? After the summer, you have some plans, and then you do want to make it to New York.
So I'll be working at Wisconsin Shakespeare Festival this summer. Like I said, big Shakespeare gal, so excited to play some of those roles. And then early fall, we'll be moving back to the Big Apple.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I love that. And I know, Lauren, I warned you during the break that I wanted to ask you about what you were up to this past summer. And you had mentioned having a contract with a performance in a theme park. Tell us a little bit about what life like that looked like.
Absolutely. That, okay, theme park contracts are one place where you really have to be serious about self-care.
Uh-huh.
Because
it's
so physically demanding. And so I worked for Windish Entertainment. And Windish Entertainment is a company. There are a couple big performance companies mm-hmm. that hire singers, dancers, actors to work at cruise ships, theme parks, resorts, any sort of entertainment like that. So we were hired by them to do this. It was a 4-person, we had two different 30-minute shows. One was like a lot of big singing, dancing, 80s till today music. And the other one was like a little acoustic set that we did as patrons came in. Mm-hmm. It was actually a theme park called Kennywood Park that is right outside of Pittsburgh. Which is part of the reason how I, you know, got hooked up with them, got the contract, that sort of thing, because that's where I'm from. And so that schedule is just really wild. So I showed up to the park at 10, mm-hmm. And then we would do the acoustic set from 11 to 11:30. And then we would have shows at 12:30, 2:30, 4:30, and 7 on the weekends. We would add that at like 7 p.m. And, you know, we were out there. And it's not Alabama, but Pittsburgh still does get like pretty hot, pretty humid yeah. in summer. We were performing on a concrete stage, which is so good for your joints. Uh-huh. Just a lot of really physically demanding work because it was four of us trying to provide like a lot of vocals. We had some sweeteners, which is what you call the little like backup vocals that are in the track sometimes to help you out a little bit. But we're doing full choreography, that sort of stuff. We're interacting with park guests.
You have to be on.
Oh,
all the time. You have to be cardiovascularly fit to sing and dance.
Came back from that contract and could not get my heart rate up. At Orange Theory, it was so funny. It like stayed in the same, like my max heart rate was insane after that contract.
Yeah. Your VO2 max was like, thank you for this.
No, truly, it was wild. I had to be really intentional about what I ate to maintain muscle mass doing that sort of contract mm-hmm. because it was cardio mm-hmm. all the time. But I mean, there was no worries about getting enough sleep during that because as soon as you get home, you're exhausted.
You're like,
okay, I'm done.
And luckily, like, we were paid for full-time work and that sort of stuff, so it wasn't like I was also coaching all the time when I was doing that. But really paying attention to water intake, nutrition, and just having some sort of thing that brings you to, I got so much reading done this summer. I read all the time because I needed to not just be like yapping or walking around the park in between shows.
Sure.
I needed something that was going to just
kind of recluse you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so like for some people it was just, you know, binging their favorite show, just getting in an episode or two in between things, but for me, it was like, I have my Goodreads goal and I'm gonna hit it this year. And so, yeah, it was really like keeping cool, drinking a ton of water, making sure I was properly like fueling myself and then having that outlet.
Yeah, some good recovery between.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you for entertaining my question. I know that was like a little like random, but definitely within the vein of what we've been talking about today. And so I just got really curious about that.
But you know, it kind of segues to this to go with me here. there are some pockets of our life where even if you're not a performer, if you're like, let's say you have taken on being the caretaker for a family member, mm-hmm. or you're a new parent, or you're a student who has come to school and you have moved away and you're taking more hours than what, and you're working a work study and you're working another job. There are these seasons and these pockets in our life where we have to be a little bit kinder to ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to be a little bit more conscientious of, I've got to hydrate, I've got to recluse, I've got to do this. And I feel like sometimes that gets lost. We just push through. We're like, well, no, this is who I am. This is how I usually operate. This is just a season. I'm going to push through. And sometimes I feel like we go back 10 or 15 steps when we go through those seasons. Not so much that it's what is being pushed upon us, but that we don't make those adjustments mm-hmm. to say, you know what, this is not my norm. So I've got to pamper myself a little bit different in this area.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And now, ladies, you know, I want to take advantage of the fact that we are all very capable, brilliant women within our fields of fitness and nutrition. And tomorrow is April Fool's Day. So I thought that it would be fun to
talk a little bit about some of the craziest things that we've heard within our expertise area that, you know, we just kind of want to debunk. So, you know, I know we kind of, like, I prepped y'all the fact that I did want to talk about this today. So I don't know, like, is there anything that comes to mind for y'all?
Yeah, I mean, it's not crazy. It's sad how common this belief is, that lifting heavy weights will make women bulky. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That it's so frustrating because, you know, I have all these, like, just wonderful undergraduate women who come to Orange Theory and are killing it on the treadmill, crushing the rower, and they get to the weight floor and their form is perfect, but they're, like, lifting 10s on a squat or something.
Yeah.
And I know, and I'm like, your backpack weighs 4 times that much, mm-hmm. like, stuff like that. I, you know, you're Stanley cup is weighs more than the dumbbell you have in your hand right now.
I love that.
Like, stuff like that. And but I sometimes I get the response, well, I don't want to get bulky.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that is one of the most, I think, harmful fitness myths that's just, like, so common.
Right.
Like, you're, it would take so much work, mm-hmm. that you are
so
not
so much testosterone.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you are a female with estrogen, more than testosterone flowing,
yes.
through those veins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, Nika, like, when Lauren was saying that, I was like, I know Nika would, like, because I've heard you say the same thing,
yes.
before too. Anything else come to mind for you that,
oh,
you
honey, love so much, so much. But I will say, since you hit, I know you're gonna hit dietetics and you've hit fitness, I'm gonna hit this. I get very tired of the American population glorifying lack of sleep as, like, a symbol of success.
Yeah.
Like, hustle culture.
Hustle, uh-huh. culture, uh-huh. yes. We tend to think that people who prioritize their sleep and get 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, they're lazy and they're not doing as much. And if you would cut down those hours and instead network, be an entrepreneur, get out there, move and shake it, you would be so much more successful. And in reality, we are more successful when we rest and our bodies can heal themselves and we can be the best version of ourselves during, mm-hmm. our waking hours.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love how well-rounded we are with this. So I think for me, and you all have probably heard this as well, just that general thought that carbs are bad for you.
Oh,
you know,
yep.
I think...
Yes. They're,
you know,
not the devil.
Yes. And it's like, and we know, especially as active people, that it's our body's preferred fuel source. And so I think that, you know, that can definitely be really tough. And so I actually just got back from a conference and kind of harped on this fact that we need to get away from using weight as the main parameter of telling somebody that they're healthy or fit, because I have people that will sometimes avoid exercise because it's like, well, that makes me gain weight, or what, you know, just like,
yeah.
all of these things. And so I think that if we're trying to frame our progress on this number that fluctuates for no rhyme or reason, like throughout the day, like all three of us could get on the scale every single hour today and it just be different.
Right.
So that's usually the thing that I'm spending some intentional time debunking for
the
sure.
Scale will lie to you every single time.
Oh yeah.
It is the biggest liar.
Oh yes.
Just throw it out.
No.
Most dietitians, most health professionals don't weigh themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They go on the other biometric.
Yep.
And how we feel and how we move and how we fit in our clothes, and because the scale will lie to you every single time.
Preach.
Preach,
yes.
sisters.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Lauren, we are going to keep you for our last segment, so stick around. You guys are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. As we have talked to Lauren Brindle, a UA graduate student who is pursuing her master's in acting, on today's Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone. And we are about to land this plane, my friend.
Yes, we are. And if you are just now tuning in, you need to go back and listen to the earlier parts of the show, because Lauren has been fabulous, has, you know, just really shared her story with us in the theater world. And I'm just geeked out. You know, as
I
an
love
outsider.
It. Yes, that's, you know, it's like a peek behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yes.
Of a world that we all aware of, because we all watch entertainment, yeah. but we don't really know how it works on the back end. So this has been really cool.
Yes. Wow. And so during the break, I was telling Lauren that, you know, usually at this point in time is when we kind of go rogue and ask our guests some very random questions. So Lauren, this is actually really appropriate. Who is your celebrity crush?
Oh, man. Oh, that's so hard. I'm just trying to think. I have a lot of celebrities I admire so much. Well, a celebrity crush that's coming up right now, but I also think his work is fantastic. Is Tyler James Williams, who's on Abbott Elementary.
Oh, right yes. Now. Okay, yes.
He plays like the main romantic lead on Abbott Elementary. He was like a child actor, but like turned out okay. and he, like, that whole show is just so phenomenal and just such a feel good show that you just have to, like, smile yes. when you're watching it.
I know, and I love how quickly you've come up with that answer, because I will say we've had past guests that they're so caught off guard and then like, are there celebrities that I have a crush on? Like, who do I think is hot? Like, what does this look like? And so, Nika, I know you've stuck with Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, but can I tell you, lately, and I don't, I mean, he is very nice to look at, but Cillian Murphy, the one that just won the Oscar for Oppenheimer, what I love about him is his facial expressions in interviews. He makes me laugh so hard. I'm like, I adore you. Like, you just, you don't care. And you don't have to care. But I think he's a really likable guy. I don't think he's, like, hateful. But he just, I mean, he is like, where's this going? And I have no time for this. And I'm
like,
I wish I had more of that in me. You know?
Yes, but, yes. Yeah. I'll stick with my solid answer. You know, I, as I've joked, I like the, I'm attracted to the people that look like they have a good credit score and have their life together. So, you know, for me growing up, it's always been like solid dad or husband looking kind of versus like
the hot guy.
Yeah. The hot guy on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but that's my story.
And that's your story and you're sticking to it.
It really is. But I just want to say, Lauren, again, you know, thank you for being on the show with Nika and I today. We've had so much fun with you, and just knowing that you're graduating in May, like, I don't know, we just wish you a Roll Tide.
We wish you a Roll Tide. Take that Roll Tide to New York City.
Absolutely.
I know you'll represent us well, and hopefully, you know, you'll send us tickets to something really fun one day, and Sheena and I will have a girls' trip, and we can come back and talk about it.
We like we knew her when. So
this energy.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're speaking this like it's existing. We're like, this is, we're claiming this. But y'all, we have had a fabulous show with you. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Nika on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.